your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. I always like the dramatic pause right there. It just feels good on a Saturday morning. How are you, Becky?
Well, I'm very dramatic this morning, evidently. I'm doing well today. How are you, Mark?
Fantastic.
You had a good, productive week, didn't you?
It has been a very productive week. It's been wonderful. I put in two offers yesterday. And going to show another house today right after the show, and things are just on the move, as we say.
There you go. Well, last year, more real estate sold than ever before, even though it seems like there's no real estate to sell. But it sells so quickly that, you know, there's a lot of it that sells.
We've been wondering, you know, are there less homes that are for sale, or are there just more buyers out there buying homes?
Well, there are more buyers because the interest rate has been so low.
Yeah.
And it's, homes are so affordable because if you're borrowing the money, if you're paying cash, this, I don't know if this is the time to actually buy, because when interest rates are up, you can get a better buy if you have cash.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, there's more homes that went on the market last year than ever before. It's just that they sold.
They just sold so quickly.
Right.
Yep.
But now, every home doesn't sell quickly. You overprice it, and it's not going to sell quickly.
So, a couple weeks back, you and I talked about that, about like homes that are unique, or how do you sell those types of homes. And if you want to go back and listen to that or any of these shows, you can look this up on either iTunes podcast or Spotify podcast and subscribe, and you can go back and listen to the past shows.
How about iHeart?
iHeart Media.
There you go.
It's right on there. Just look up Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, or just Google Becky Ivins podcast. It'll be right there. Pop up, hit subscribe.
And we've got a special guest today.
Always love it when this guest is with us. It's incredibly educational and entertaining. And our guest is Ken McBride from Chicago Title, Oklahoma. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Okay, Ken, we always, when you come, we always talk a little bit about fraud, but I have the fraudsters kind of simmered down a little bit.
No, not at all. Those people that are determined to take money from people by, particularly by hacking into someone's email, finding out, when they're receiving their wiring instructions, and getting them to redirect their wire to some fraudulent bank account somewhere. Those people are doing that, and they're doing that just as much as ever right now. They've also, they're also trying to, break in and trying to send fraudulent instructions, in connection to, with loan payoffs.
That is a problem. Do you know, one time, we closed a transaction at your closing company, Chicago Title, and the folks got the payoff from Bank of America. I think it was Bank of America. Anyway, evidently Bank of America sent the wrong payoff for the loan, because these people own two houses with very, very similar addresses. And they paid off the wrong loan, and the folks walked out of there with nearly $40,000 more than they should have. They went to the car dealership and bought this spectacular pickup truck with that money, and then all of a sudden they get a call from your attorneys that says, cough up the money, or these are criminal charges will be filed, because you knew how much money you owed on this property. And you guys collected back in short order. You probably don't recall that. It's been a few years ago.
I don't recall that, but But that happens sometimes, and we rely on people. You know, we rely on people to be trustworthy. Sometimes people are not trustworthy. Sometimes people take advantage of a circumstance, and that's unfortunate. But if somebody really owes and should have paid the money, then of course we'll insist that they do so.
Right. So, how do you gather up all the information? How do you know how much money is owed on a property?
Well, we rely on information. Of course, obviously, we don't have any information on the a person's loan or how much they owe on it or anything else until they give us that information. And we rely on people to tell us the loan numbers and the information on their mortgage. You know, if they've got multiple loans with the same lender, sometimes that can be problematic and that can be difficult, especially if the amounts due on them are very similar. I recall many years back that we requested a payoff from a lender, and these people had two loans with the same lender. And one of those loans was on a car. The other was on real property. And we did end up paying off the wrong one. But we got it straightened out because the information that was provided to us on the loan number was the wrong loan number. So it was an easy thing to easy mistake to make, but we got it worked out.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling when you find out your own client's the one that was was the bad guy, right?
Well, it happens sometimes, and sometimes it's a legitimate error, and most people are understand, and they're very cooperative in getting things straightened out if there's been a honest mistake made, and the lender worked to help get it worked out.
First house we ever sold was a second mortgage. We bought an equity. Back in the day, you could just take over payments on a mortgage. So we did that, but the folks had a lot of equity, but they were older people, and they took a second mortgage out. I mean, we did with them. And so we paid the owners. And when we paid off when we sold that house, they cut us this enormous check. And I was going, we don't have that much equity in this property. They had neglected to get the payoff on a second mortgage. Come to find out, that second mortgage was never filed of public record. And these folks were in their upper 80s that we owed this money to. I do think we probably could have just said nothing and just walked off. And then but we couldn't because we have a conscience and we want to do the right thing. So,
speaking about mortgages, let's talk to our money man.
NMLS number
1197740.
Matt McLean from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Matt?
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Becky. And Ken, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Matt, tell us what's going on in the market right now.
Oh, goodness, guys. Well, you know, it's good to hear that you're writing offers. So that's not surprising. Saw a little bit of an increase in rates, right? The Fed came out and raised their rates, and mortgage rates certainly reacted to it. So as Becky said, rates are still really, really good. But we saw a little bit of an increase last week.
So we were talking about this on the way up here to the studio. Was some of this is perspective between just the immediate past, which were historically low, and over the years, rates are still low, aren't they, comparatively?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. You know, I'm going to date myself here, but bought my first house in the late 80s and paid 9.5% interest rate. So now we're in the mid to high fours. So, yeah, rates are still really, really good, historically, comparatively.
Well, the highest interest rate loan I ever sold was 16.5%. And they went to 18.5%. I found my little amortization book that I calculated on the other day, cleaning out an old box, and it was pretty amazing how I wrote in there. This book started at 7.5%, and it went up quite a long ways, like 14.5%, and you could just look it up and calculate it. But I had factors written in the back of it for higher percentages than that.
Right.
So, yeah. So you can buy a lot of house for not so much money in on your monthly payment.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
If you are looking to finance or refinance, you can give Matt McLean and Dean Riddell a call at SWBC Mortgage at 405-858-7770. That's 858-7770. As always, thanks, Matt.
You have a good show. Thanks.
If you want to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 840-1000. We'll be back with Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title, Oklahoma, on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Ken McBride from Chicago Title, Oklahoma.
You know, during the break, we were talking about security and how secure your system is, like even your email system, because folks get, I mean, if you were to get breached and a client sends you their payoff and the numbers get mixed up or the email gets intercepted, how is that a threat to the client? If you're not real careful.
Well, I can tell you about circumstances that have actually occurred in our market. And that's, we had a customer that, that we, were expecting them to wire us money in connection with a closing. And we, sent them wiring instructions and told them where to send the money. And when they got the wiring instructions, they said, "Oh, we've already sent it."
Oh, mercy.
Oh, my.
And we said, "You what? Where did you send it?" And they had already received an email from a fraudster. And this email was made exactly to appear as if it had come from us. The email it was sent from was one letter different than the email address of our closer. They just added one little letter in there. If you didn't look very carefully at that return email, you would think that it was from our office.
Is it in the domain name or is it in the part before the at sign?
Sometimes it's in the domain name. Sometimes it's in the other part.
Gosh.
It's they're very clever and they're very resourceful and they're quick. And frequently, not in this local instance, but frequently they will even include a phone number that's a fraudulent phone number. And they have people who sound like they're from our part of the world who are working those phones and will confirm that fraudulent email was valid.
When I call customer service somewhere, why is it I can't get hold of those people that sound like they're from our part of the world?
Well, it's amazing how resourceful these people, but also they're stealing large amounts of money, and they're stealing it from people. I mean, they're just using electronic devices, and all of this money has to go to a United States bank initially. And so they will send out a fraudulent email. I mean, a fraudulent bank account information, and it'll only be in certain banks or certain financial institutions. And then when the money gets there, as soon as it's processed through that bank, usually 1 or 2 days, it goes to a foreign bank. It goes out of the country, goes to Russia, goes to China, goes to Eastern Europe, someplace like that. And we've actually followed, we meaning our company, has followed some of that money to specific banks in, for example, in Russia, and the bank in Russia would just throw up their hands and say they have no desire to cooperate with us.
Wow. So this probably helps their war efforts, doesn't it?
Well, it it helps their criminals and the people that are stealing money. And like I say, it's a lot of money, and they have stolen money in that was intended to be someone's down payment on property. They have stolen money that was intended to be real estate commissions. They have stolen money that was intended to be payoffs for loans. All of this through fraudulent information on a bank account. And I'm reminded, you know, someone asked the other day, how do they get these bank accounts? Well, I'm reminded of the story that one of our security people told of a little old lady in, I think, North Carolina, who woke up one morning to find the FBI in full battle gear on her front porch. And they came in and talked with her, and they said, "Ma'am, is this your bank account?" And she said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, are you letting someone else use your bank account?" She said, "Oh, this nice gentleman that I met on the internet, he said he needed a place. He was going to sell some property, and he needed a place that he could put the money until he could get it to his country. And he was so nice to me that I decided I'd let him use my bank account."
Wow.
Goodness.
And so these are resourceful people, and what I'd like to leave with the thought is that we don't change our wiring instructions. We don't change and if you get an email changing those wiring instructions, it is probably fraudulent. And if you call to verify it, which is a good idea, call to verify wiring instructions, call a number that is known. Look up the number on the internet. Don't call the number that's in the email.
Because the telephone number sometimes very close to the same too.
It
looks like it could be a back line or something.
They are very clever, and they're stealing a lot of money.
Evidently, can be very charming.
And they can be very charming.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely with it. So the basic part of it is you just need to call the local and confirm before any wiring.
Yes, yeah. Yes, confirm wiring instructions, and that's what we do. We confirm wiring instructions. If we're wiring money to a lender and we have not dealt with that lender before or dealt with them on a regular basis, then we will call that lender and confirm wiring instructions. We don't wire without confirming wiring instructions. And if you are wiring to a title company, I don't care which title company it is, all of them would appreciate it if you would confirm your wiring instructions by a telephone call to a known telephone number.
Not one the internet just said that you got on the email.
Not on the email.
Okay, you know, we've been busy this last year, and we're busy again this year. How about you guys? Are you closing more than ever?
Yes, we've been very busy, and you know, when the market is up, our business is so closely tied to the real estate market that when the market is up, we're up, and we've been extremely busy. And that's a mixed blessing, of course, because we've got a lot of people who've spent a lot of hours and devoted a lot of time and attention to trying to take care of our customers, and sometimes that's hard. It's put a lot of pressure on our system, and I'm sure that's that way not only in our company but in all the title companies, and it's been a challenge, but we're grateful for this good market. And, you know, like I say, when the market is good, we've got to be on top of it and be taking advantage of it.
What's the most challenging part of your business?
The most challenging part of our business right now is being able to do the title work in the time, in a time frame, in a timely manner to be able to serve our customer. Because you can't have, you always staff up based on anticipation of how many orders you're going to get. But if you get more orders than that, you just have to adapt and adapt as best you can. The industry has traditionally, over the whole period of time I've been in this business, had a challenge with flexibility of workforce. And as the real estate market's a roller coaster. You go up and down, and there are good times and not so good times. And we've got to be able to adapt to all of those.
So when when we're going in to title, well, we'll be talking about this when we come back with Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, here with Ken McBride from Chicago Title, Oklahoma, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, here talking with Becky Ivins and Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title, Oklahoma. And it's time for our word of the day. Is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
How about appreciation?
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go. Ken, how about appreciation?
Appreciation's great. I think a lot of times when people look at interest rates, particularly when there's a little change in interest rates, and we said earlier, interest rates are still historically low, and they forget that frequently these increases in interest rates are coupled with real estate appreciation. And as the value of that home goes up, sometimes you're much better off with the appreciation in your home, and it more than offsets a small interest rate bump.
Well, that's true. Inflation does make the prices go up. That's for sure.
So, Ken, I was wondering that with title insurance, in pricing of title insurance, has that gone up? I mean, we've seen everything in real estate kind of jump from the price of woods to the price of roofing. Has title insurance gone up?
I think, well, there's the title insurance itself. I think most of the time it's been fairly stable. Mm. And I think there will be, from time to time, there are some increases to accommodate inflation. And I think overall the charges for abstracting and so forth will probably go up about the same amount as inflation and probably follow an inflation figure because, it's kind of one of these things that everybody is looking to pay, more frequently for their employees, more for everything else that a business will buy. And if your rent, your employees, and all of your other charges go up, then you need to at least keep up with that. And so I think like other businesses, but it's so interesting that someone commented the other day, and I think they're right, that inflation is to a certain extent a mindset. It's based on your expectations. If you're expecting to pay more for everything else that you get, then you're probably going to raise your prices, and so will everybody else in the supply chain. So I think that there's a certain amount of that that's going to happen, and it'll happen in our industry just like it probably will in other industries.
Well, and it goes up because, the base chart might look the same as it did 2 years ago for the prices, but home prices have gone up. And even though abstracting is a fixed price, the cost of title insurance is based on the amount of the purchase. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's true. And just by virtue of increases in prices. and that normally will accommodate a good deal of the inflation in our industry.
So I ask you your most challenging thing. How about in the title industry, what I get amazed at how you only work so many hours in a day, but you guys seem to be able to keep up. So your scheduling of closings because people can only close like 1 hour, right? Your closers?
Yes, as a general rule, that's true. And we've got to be, again, flexible and resourceful and being able to accommodate our customers. As you well know, something will happen in a closing and it may be delayed. Or frequently something will happen in a closing and it may take longer than we anticipated. And so we've got to be flexible on that. And sometimes we have to have people who will step in and assist and sign people up while another closing is continuing. We want to be adaptable to the needs of our customer and try and meet their scheduling needs as much as possible. But also we try to stay below the radar. Ours is a business that I would venture to say if you polled 100 random people on the street, very few would have any real idea what it is we do, and would not know very much about our business, and yet our business is critical to the real estate transaction getting completed. It's vital, I think, to have a disinterested third party that handles getting the title information ready as well as the receipt and disbursement of funds. And I think people would be surprised at how much money actually goes through title companies in a month.
Right. And I will tell you in a nutshell, like, what does a title company do? Because folks go and they sign papers, but the person signing them up is not an attorney or anything. So what does a title company do? And then what's the qualifications of a closer?
Those are both very good questions. Let me start off with in a nutshell or as much as in a summary what we do. We do the receipt and disbursement of funds in connection with the closing. In fact, we prepare a closing statement that indicates the source of funds in the transaction and where those funds go in the real estate transaction. This is extremely important, and it is one of the obligations that whoever handles the transaction has a legal responsibility that the closing statement will accurately reflect the true nature of the transaction. And that's been litigated a lot. So we take it very seriously that if somebody wants us to put something on the closing statement that is not accurate or does not accurately reflect the transaction, we will not participate in that. And so that's something that law enforcement relies on. We got a subpoena this week for a bunch of our files in connection with two people who are being accused of mortgage fraud. And so our closing statement has to accurately reflect the receipt and disbursement of funds. And then the other thing, of course, is we research the title, we examine the title, and we make sure that we issue a policy ensuring the status of title to both the owner and the lender in connection with the transaction, so that if there are any title problems later, they know who to turn to.
Right, and that's what the insurance part is,
that's
right?
That's the insurance part
you
of it.
You insure part of it. Clear title to right. the property.
And in connection with that, if we find some things that need to be cleared up, we work with people and assist them in getting those matters resolved before closing.
Okay.
I'm so grateful for Chicago Title because the basic part of it is, does this person have the right to sell this property? Does this person have the right to buy this property? Are all the funds available for it to be done? and it's the clearinghouse for it to get done. Now, not all title companies are the same. I had to go to one for a – most typically we use Chicago Title if at all possible. I had one. It was a builder situation, used another title. Oh, my goodness. The number of runarounds we had to do to get that thing closed makes me thankful for Chicago Title.
My team is especially the buyer's agents are used to working with Chicago Title. And I think they're a little bit spoiled, frankly, because they don't know what it's like to go to another company in town here. And there are a few that where they want to close on a cash transaction. I sat 2.5 hours on a cash transaction waiting on a closing. Cash transactions, you got to be on time because usually they only take about 6 or 7 minutes, right? And part of that's just making copies for everyone to leave with. Very few papers to sign on a cash transaction. But when you don't have the payoff prepared ahead of time, when you don't have any of the documentation, it's not going to happen. So we love working with a company that is prepared, and that reflects on our professional image as well. Because if we take a client somewhere that is where you've got to sit 2.5 hours waiting on a closing to happen because the paperwork isn't there or it's incorrect, or they've got your name on there spelled wrong and they've got to redo all the paperwork. I mean, there's just a lot that proper preparation covers.
What else does a title company offer? Like, I know, I mean, most of our connections with real estate agents, but what else do you connect with?
Well, we also, in addition to residential, we do commercial. And we've got a wonderful commercial title insurance office. And in that connection, we deal with real estate attorneys. We deal with commercial brokers as well. We always deal with lenders because although there are more and more cash transactions, typically there is a loan on real estate. And so we work with the lenders. We work with others who are involved in the real estate transaction. That's generally it. We are a very realtor focused company because, our relationship with the realtors is very, very important. And that's just been a very wonderful source of a business relationship for us.
It's probably easier to work with a group of realtors than with one individual for sale by owner at a time that doesn't really know how to write a proper contract. And you guys have to close according to the written contract.
That's exactly right. And yes, it's always better to be working with a real estate professional. And not only for us, because the real estate professional knows kind of what to expect and communicates with us in a way that helps us to prepare the closing. But frequently in a for sale by owner situation, the parties, the contract may not be accurately completed, may not be consistent. And sometimes, the parties don't really know what to expect and don't know how to communicate in such a way that we can serve them best. And so it's a challenge. But the buyer and seller, really end up in a better situation if they have the assistance of a real estate professional. A realtor can help the seller to do the best on their sale and can help the buyer to get the most for their money as well as the best financing.
When we come back, we will have your smoking hot deal right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Uh-huh. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deal. Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Oh, Lord. Our smoking Smoking Hot Deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh, hot Mexican food.
Are you ready for the big news on Casa Perico?
Oh, yeah. If I had a drum roll, I would drum roll it.
Okay.
What's the big news?
The big news for Casa Perico is they are opening a place in Yukon.
Oh, yeah.
Right on Main Street in Yukon. Everyone has seen May's Cafe there.
Yeah.
May's Cafe is seeing their last weekend of business this weekend. May is retiring, and Casa Perico's purchasing that property, and they're going to have adding an outside patio for a little bit of a festive atmosphere, and they'll be opening there shortly.
That'd be wonderful to have them on the west side of the Oklahoma Metro in Yukon.
Yes.
New Casa Perico.
So, exciting. Okay, our smoking hot deal.
So, our smoking hot deal, 315 North 20th Street in Guthrie. It's a commercial building. Tell us about this, Becky.
Okay, this has been a church. It's about 3,300 square feet, but one of the exciting parts about this property is it's on 0.6 acres, so it's got a huge parking lot. So depending on what you want to, churches have to have a big parking lot because they have a big congregation typically. It has been used as a counseling center, and it is currently now used as a church, and it's for sale for $225,000. That's pretty cheap.
It's a great price
point. It is a really good price on that property. And it's a great property. It's got upgraded heat and air in recent years, and is on the west side of Guthrie. So the west side is more of the drier side of Guthrie. it's a great property, and it belongs to a friend of mine that has purchased it, and he's just ready to liquidate some property. So
if this is ringing a bell for you, you can give us a call at our office at 405-722-3232, 405-722-3232, or go to BeckyIvins.com, click on search listings right there, and you'll see that and more.
That's right. Okay. Well, we're talking to Ken McBride, Chicago Title, and one of the questions I have is, what are the qualifications of a closer?
Well, we look for a person who has kind of an unusual combination of wonderful people skills and still able to handle all the concepts of curative, of being able to cure the title, as well as the numbers, because they have to have a good grasp of the money that's coming in and the money that's going out. And of course, in a perfect world, those will match. Those will balance up.
You tend to collect the best group of closers in the metro. I mean, they are personable, but they are accurate mathematically, and they are diligent. It's kind of like finding a niece. My niece was cheerleader, head cheerleader, and an engineer. Now, that's very unusual for an engineer to have more of the people skills and the bubbly personality, but that's the kind of person you find to close. So what kind of license do they have to have?
Well, in Oklahoma, we're one of the very few states there is no licensing of our escrow closers. Most states require some type of background check and some type of testing and qualifications, and then license escrow officers. And in fact, in California, you have to have been a licensed escrow officer for 5 years before you can manage an escrow office. So a lot of states have some limitations on that. And the reason being that these people handle large amounts of other people's money. There is nobody that handles more of other people's money with a lower threshold of regulation.
So you just have to be honest. Do you guys have audits?
We have internal audits, and but there's no requirement for an external audit. But many states require an external audit of these escrow accounts, but that's not required in Oklahoma. Internally, we've got some very strict internal audits, and in fact, we're going through one right now where they pick files and make sure that we've complied with all of our internal policies as well as the relevant laws.
I'm surprised to hear there's not any external audits of the title it's, companies, because you guys handle, I mean, so much of other people's money.
It's a large amount of money. I think people would be amazed. You know, $1 billion. It goes through. You think about the sum total of all real estate transactions that go through title companies. That's a lot of money, especially if you look at commercial and residential. It's a huge amount of money. And to tell you the truth, we're very fortunate that we've got good quality companies. The title companies in this area are doing a good job. But from time to time, there are problems. They don't always, they don't get any headlines because they're not all that interesting. But from time to time, companies do have issues. We've got internal controls that have worked very well for us.
I know that your bookkeeping department, I'm not sure what you call your bookkeeping department, but like if there is a check that has not been cashed, you call and ask, you know, do we need to stop payment on this and reissue a check? Because you keep track of every check. And that the last time you guys called and asked about that, we had given a check to someone. It wasn't that big of a check, but it was a check from your company, and it had not been cashed, and it had been like 2 months since it had been issued. And it reminded me of Aunt Friedel, who was German, who sold her house, moved to Germany. She lived in El Paso, moved back home to Germany, and just figured that she had been swindled out of her money because she never got the money. And so my in-laws asked about that and said, well, hey, what's the deal? And I said, well, call the title company. It's got to be sitting in their check. It was a $70-some thousand check just sitting in a folder, not being cashed. And it had been like a year. So, yeah.
Ken McBride, Chicago Title Oklahoma. If you want to find out more about Chicago Title, go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's Favorites. Thanks for being with us this week. We'll see you next week right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK.